Hey, gang, welcome to another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, RBN, republicbroadcasting.org. It's the whale of free speech. Who's the captain who is following Moby Dick? If Moby Dick is free speech, what was the captain's name? Captain Bly? What was his name?
No, it's Captain Ahab, bro.
Oh, Captain Ahab. And Ahab, it sounds like an Arab name, but if he's going after free speech, it has to be a Jewish name. Sorry. Don't mean to be mean, but that's just the way it goes. So go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, send badly needed funding to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Phone it into 1-800-724-2719, extension 3. This is part 2 of your Patrick and Jeremy show. Jeremy, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Patrick, for having me. We spent most part of last night on the site talking about the terrorist attack in Russia, and we have more prep to go to. I'm just going to kick it to you for direction. Where do you want to go with this?
Okay, where I would like to go would be we covered that yesterday too, kind of Trump's statements. Did we cover that yesterday? Trump's statements to the Israeli newspaper?
Oh, no, we didn't cover anything about Trump. We strictly did Vladimir Putin's reaction to the terrorist attack, and then we hashed out all the scenarios as to who could be responsible for it. But you did send an interesting article on Trump's statement on it. Trump tells Israel that it made a big mistake. And this is from an RT article. This is something we've been covering, is that not only in the left, at the base of the left, whatever, or the Democrat Party, basically the people in America that support child trannyism and homo marriage and endless immigration, they're turning against their own party over this Gaza genocide. And because they're disenfranchised, there's no one on the left in the Democrat circles that are pro-Palestinian of any significance. You got the Squad and you know, they're...
I want to say for the record that I stand with these black and brown Congress bitches. I do. So I just...
They probably, you know, go off to the water cooler and speak Ebonics to each other, but whatever. Or they speak Muslim Ebonics. Is that a thing, Muslim Ebonics? It probably is.
Well, the two Muslims... what's her name? The Somalia lady, Ilhan Omar. She has kind of an accent already. And then Rashida Tlaib is just, she's the Palestinian lady from, does she represent Dearborn or Detroit? She's somewhere in Michigan. And she's kind of foul mouthed, actually.
Yeah.
She was born in America and she just speaks like a foul mouthed American gen, whatever she is. I don't think she's that old, but she looks a lot older than she is. She's kind of rough. But, you know, like I said, I stand with these black and brown Congress bitches.
And you got these people. I mean, they're not significant. There's no one significant in the Democrat Party that's doing pro-Palestinian stuff. Everybody's scared. Everybody's scared of their, you know, their contributors, AIPAC, Jews, CEOs, whatever. But on the Republican side, on the right side, they're very pro-Israel. But yet, these atrocities are, you know, in the discussion of these atrocities of children being maimed and Palestinians being starved to death, it's bleeding into the right. And so Trump has to deal with this in the same way that Rush Limbaugh, you know, always had to deal with the anti-white narrative. You know, Trump's having to deal with this anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian narrative, and so he's made some comments, and this is highlighted in an RT article, Trump tells Israel that it made a big mistake. And you have Trump at his finest, you know, being very, very ambiguous, making a lot of statements that could be taken one way or the other. All right, you have a lot of plausible deniability with his statements. So in one way, he's trying to come down on Jewish power in this aspect. But on the other hand, he's trying to not come down on Jewish power. He's trying to do both. That's what I gathered from the article. What do you think?
So what I think is, here's Trump's situation. If you look at various polling data, the left wing is very pissed off at, can I say that? They're very pissed off at the Biden administration, because the Biden administration, you know, Biden went over immediately after October 7th, and he went over, he's in the State of the Union. He bragged about being the only American president to visit Israel during wartime. Like, so why is that something to brag about? But, you know, Anthony Blinken went over in October and said he's coming not just as Secretary of State, but he's coming as a Jew. And Israel was given a blank check. Well, what did they do with the blank check? Well, they killed like five figures worth of children, right? Over how many children? 12,000, 15,000 children, and then a whole bunch of women. And what they're doing is it's really unacceptable to the vast majority of the globe. In America, like Americans have been, America's the most philo-Semitic country on earth besides Israel. And even then, I'm not sure. And especially, you know, especially my generation, the boomers, they're super philo-Semitic, and especially conservatives. But the boomers and conservatives aren't the base of the Democratic voter. The Democratic vote is younger, and it's browner and blacker. And the brown and black people don't have the same devotion to Israel as the white people. They just don't. It's white, conservative boomers that they have bought this and they've swallowed it. And, you know, their dads fought in World War II. My dad was in World War II. He didn't really fight, but he was in the army. He was in intelligence. He was a translator, actually. He was a Japanese translator. So it's not Trump's base. Trump's base is pro-Israel. And when you look at the way this Israel-Gaza crisis is going, and you look at polling data, so the base of the Democratic Party is mad at Biden, and so they're leaving him. Not necessarily going to Trump, but they're leaving him, and some are, you know, 2% support Jill Stein of the Green Party, 2% support Cornel West of the crazy Afro Party, and maybe some are supporting Kennedy. They're supporting other people, but Trump is polling better than he ever has, much better than he ever has. He is, according to the Real Clear Politics, he is like 2 percentage points ahead of Biden. In his previous two races, he was never ahead in the polls. He was always behind by several points. If you were to go back exactly 4 years, he was behind by 7 points. Now he's up by 2 points. That's a 9-point shift. That's huge. And you look at the breakdown of the polls, and Biden is suffering greatly from this. Trump's not suffering because Trump's base, which is pro-Israel by default, or you could say by stupidity, but they're pro-Israel. So they're mad at Biden because Biden's not standing up for Israel enough, right? And they're, you look at places like, I don't look at Breitbart, but Don Adva looked at Breitbart, and the editorially they're super pro-Israel, but the comment sections aren't, which is interesting. But I don't know how much you can glean from comment sections. I keep an eye on the Gateway Pundit, which is editorially it's super pro-Israel, which is retarded. But, you know, so MAGA Inc., or what I call Gay MAGA, is pro-Israel. And Trump's not losing anything by being ambiguous. He's not losing anything. If he came out harshly against Israel, maybe he would lose. Maybe he would lose support, because these black and brown and blue haired people who are mad at Biden, they're not going to come over and vote for Trump. So Trump really doesn't have an incentive to come out hard against Israel, not hard against it. At the same time, you know, Trump will say he's the most pro-Israel president ever. And a lot of people say Trump is super pro-Israel. I actually don't think he's that pro-Israel. I just think Trump is pro-Trump, and he'll do whatever he thinks is in his best interest. And I don't think he would get a lot out of coming out super anti-Israel, being super critical. And I also think that there's a high likelihood that by election date, or certainly by inauguration date, that Israel's already going to be like effectively defeated. And so I think in Trump's calculation, he loses nothing by being kind of ambiguous, maintaining the stance that he's super pro-Israel, but at the same time saying Netanyahu's let his people down. This is a bad look, bombing all these buildings. This is bad. Israel's becoming isolated. So I think he's just kind of playing it safe for himself, which is not leadership. It's not leadership, but it's safe for himself. And I think this is going to largely play out. I could be wrong, because the Ukraine stuff took a lot longer than I was expecting. But I just don't see this going on forever. I think Israel's getting super isolated, to the extent that I'll kick it back to you, but now you've got Chuckie Schumer coming out and basically almost in those words saying Netanyahu must go, that it's time for him to step aside and get a new leader. So I kick it back to you now.
Yeah, Chuckie Schumer's doing that because of his political interests. He understands that the base of the Democrat Party are disenfranchised and they're turning against their leaders. But this is the point that I want to make, is this is flowing into the right. You had this recent incidence of Candace Owens being very, very critical of Israel and the Palestinian genocide and getting fired from Ben Shapiro's network. And a lot of, I would argue, most of Candace Owens' core are Trump people. So Trump feels the need to get out, and or Trump's advisors feel the need for him to get out and get ahead of this and, you know, stop it before it gets out of control. Thus, I would argue these are very critical remarks that Trump has against Israel, even though they're very, you know, benign, you know, in their content, they are critical nonetheless compared to what, you know, how he has stanced himself as pro-Israel in the past. Now he's like, look, guys, like, come on now. You need to cool it. You need to cool it with the genocidal, you know, actions. And I think he's doing this in response to the backlash. There's a backlash on the left, obviously, but now there's beginning to be a backlash on the right, because so many of these boomer conservative Trump tards follow Candace Owens. And I think that she has blazed a trail in bringing the criticism of Israel that is existing and has existed on the left since October 7th. She's bringing that to the right. It's bleeding into the right. That's why I think Trump made these comments. He's getting ahead of them. There's pressure. And I think we're going to see this in the election coming up. He's going to be more trying to bring Israel to heel than he has ever been in the past. That's my comments.
Wow. And if that's true, that's really interesting. So I talked about Candace Owens with Don Advo on my Tuesday show, yesterday's show. I hadn't made the connection from Candace Owens to Donald Trump, but that's actually really interesting. That's an interesting thought. Candace Owens is somebody who's has an extremely big audience among genuine normie Trump people. And I've mentioned her name to people who are more on the left, and they just kind of dismiss her as you know, a conservative or right wing or whatever. But you know, it's for Candace Owens to be saying things like this. She is kind of, is she the normie whisperer? She might be the normie whisperer. We've been waiting for that person to come along, the normie whisperer. Because you have people like Alex Jones, who, I mean, Alex Jones is all over the place, and he says all this stuff about his, you know, his parents, his granddaddy's fighting Hitler and all this stuff. And he's got a large audience. But his audience, while they're not necessarily the most informed people, they're not normies. They're really not normies. Stu Peters, I don't know how big his audience is, and he's come out hard against Jews, but his audience isn't normies. But Candace Owens' audience are normies. These are people, a lot of older people. These are people who watch TV and do Facebook. They're not people who are very adept at a lot of other things. Probably because she's black, she has some sort of, she's a black conservative, she has some sort of air of authority that even somebody like Tucker Carlson might not. What do you think?
Let me interject. I don't want to interrupt you. Let me interject.
Go for it.
As a black woman, she gives these normie conservatives a lot of cover. Because, you know, they want to be on our, they want to be white nationalists in their mindset. They see the immigration problem, you know, that they see this, but yet they don't want to speak out against it because it's going to be racist. So for Candace Owens to be taking this position, it gives normie Trump-tard conservatives, and I know I'm being insultive and, analyzing at the same time, but just bear with me. It gives them some cover to go against the Jewish state, right? Because here's a black woman, a black and a woman, and a conservative, you know, that's saying the things that's very objectively observative. Like, you can see this. And so I think that Candace Owens is pushing the Trump base into this, you know, whole questioning of what's going on with Jews in Palestine. It gives them cover to be able to openly question it.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. And Candace Owens, she's got the big audience, and she has given her, like, in the past, she's given her normie white conservative followers a reason to, you know, cover for being outspoken against Black Lives Matter. All right. She wrote a book about, I think, didn't she write a book about Black Lives Matter? And so you can be against Black Lives Matter by quoting Candace Owens.
To everyone he meets, he stays a stranger. With every move he makes, another chance he takes. The odds are he won't live to see tomorrow. Secret agent man, secret agent man, they've given you a number.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Do you begin to smell some funky little things going on? Let me share this story with you. It's not so much a story, it's something I wrote years ago. Read your history, people. Stock markets collapse on Friday. Bank seizures, closures, holidays take place after business hours on Friday. Do currencies or governments also collapse on Friday? Tomorrow's Friday. Will the end come on this Friday, or will the inevitable collapse hold off for a while? The next round of the worst financial crisis in 100 years is coming, people, and the government is out to make you and I pay for it. And will your savings survive a global banking wipeout? What happens when the U.S. sees hyperinflation? What if taxes soar not only for the rich? Can you survive if the stock market tanks? Look, between a stock market wipeout, waves of bank failures, soaring government spending that will lead to hyperinflation, and the destruction of the dollar's value, isn't it time that you prepare for the uncertainty which lies ahead? Protect your money now or forever kiss it goodbye. My friends, I offer you over 6 decades' experience of hard asset ownership and knowledge, and I'm prepared to handle the smallest detail in the balance protection of your portfolio. For as the future of uncertainty continues to blanket this nation of ours, I believe that I can offer you the privacy, safety, security, and possibly some profitability which you deserve. And so I invite you to visit SierraMadrePreciousMetals.com for further information regarding protecting your wealth. Or call me, Jeffrey Bennett, at 602-799-8214. Or by email at KettleMoraineLTD@Cox.net for private consultation. Once again, our phone number, 602-799-8214. It's almost Friday.
She wrote a book about, I think, didn't she write a book about Black Lives Matter? And so so you can be against Black Lives Matter by quoting Candace Owens, and you're totally not racist. Candace Owens, I think she's been pretty outspoken on illegal immigration, on homosexuality and things like that, or trannyism. So she's been on a lot of these issues. Now, the thing is with Candace Owens, she's been under massive attack from really, really obnoxious Jews like Rabbi Shmuley Botox or whatever his name is, and some really obnoxious people. And it's because they're being so obnoxious, she has been and probably because she's black, she is black and probably a black woman. Probably genetically has a little bit less filter. she's intelligent. I'm not saying that she's not intelligent, but she might have a little bit less filter, well, right?
Black women have a lot of testosterone, and they tend to speak what's on their minds.
Yeah,
you know, to their credit, I guess.
In this case, it certainly is.
And so, I guess the point that I'm saying is that just her speaking out is shifting this whole thing of, you know, anti-Israeli aggression to the Palestinians. It's shifting the whole conversation to the right.
Yeah, and so she's got an audience that has been nodding their heads while she talks about illegal immigration and Black Lives Matter and child trannyism and critical race theory. And now she's under massive attack from the Jews. And, oh, by the way, all those policies she's been talking about, all those things she's been talking about, who really is behind it? And she's like really on the verge of kind of pulling it all together for people, you know. And, you know, I wish like David Duke or myself or Don Black or somebody else was going to be the one who would pull it. No, maybe it's just got to be some young Black woman who does it. But whatever. And so I think it's a real crisis for the Jewish power structure. And if you're correct that this really prompted Donald Trump to start to speak more critically about Israel, and if you're correct, and you may well be, then that's super significant. Because Donald Trump probably made the immigration issue his central issue 8 years ago because of what's her name, the tall blonde girl, lady, what's her name? You know who I'm talking about? Skinny.
Exodus Americanus was the book.
Was that? Yeah. Good. Adios America. Right? Wasn't that it?
Yeah.
Ann Coulter.
Yeah.
And so I think Trump may very well be influenced greatly by these conservative influences, or like Tucker Carlson. You know, Tucker Carlson gets ahead on an issue, and Trump is, I think he's fundamentally a follower more than a leader, but and the question is, who's he going to follow? And we don't want him following MAGA Inc, because, you know, MAGA Inc is Jewish funded and astroturfed.
That's true. And I would compare like the Candace Owens situation to the Kanye West situation. Mm-hmm. You know, this is a Black man that attained power by the Jews and who was burnt by the Jews. And he spoke out against Jewish power, and he was very quickly brought to heel by Jewish power. He was brought to heel, but he made a lot of people notice. A lot of people were noticing when he was openly speaking against Jewish power. So, you know, you don't want to be too, what's the TRS phrase, light switch brained. You don't want to be too light switch brained and say, well, I mean, you know, Kanye West spoke out against all this stuff, and now he's recanting. No, the fact is that he spoke out against it, and he started a conversation amongst the left and the right. And I think that's what Candace Owens is doing. Candace Owens did, and that Trump is responding to that in his critical, vocalization, saying that Israel may have gone too far. Like, whoever's advising him, Trump is informing him that, hey, your base is shifting on this issue. They're shifting. They're not totally pro-Israel. They're noticing the genocide. They're noticing the total violence in this area of Gaza. And you have to respond to that.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Health Simple with Colorado Shilji. Fact bit number one. What goes in must come out. Whatever we ingest
breathe in, or transfer by contact must be expelled. Expelled directly as burned calories, through perspiration, respiration, or expelled via urinary and gastric channels. Every element that is not properly used or removed by our bodies become toxins. And toxins, as we know, are causal to every disease and ailment. Toxins are what makes us subpar, unable to be at our best. Be your healthy best by cleansing your body of daily and deeply embedded toxins. Live stronger, and we hope live longer. Shilajit, legit Shilajit that is, like Colorado Shilajit, is perhaps the greatest homeopathic whole body remover of toxins made by Mother Earth.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's GORBN.
Hey there, are you going to wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Totally pro-Israel. They're noticing the genocide. They're noticing the total violence in this area of Gaza, and you have to respond to this. I think that's what is going on here. Trump's advisors are telling him, hey, people are noticing, you need to take another direction here. That's what I'm saying.
I wonder who he's talking to.
Well, we know, I mean, in the past, Stephen Miller, the Jew, the alt-right Jew that is of the Steinleitian doctrine, mentality, you know, you can use both of those words. But, I mean, Stephen Miller definitely would be in agreement with a lot of our talking points. And it's people like this that are advising Trump. So that for some reason, the system wants Trump in 2024, 2025. For some reason.
I don't know. I don't know if they want Trump. I don't know. Oh, here's something. I don't know if they want Trump. It may be that they see Trump as unavoidable and now are scrambling to deal with it.
That's it. I could buy that. When I said they want Trump, maybe they don't want Trump, but they're like, all right, this is the guy, you know. You definitely have people that don't want Trump in the Jewish system, in the Jewish-dominated system. And, you know, they're doing the court cases against him in the middle of his election. So you have this back and forth, this Jewish power is against itself. They're pushing against itself. Part of them want Trump, a very small sliver, and part of them don't. And so you see this in the court cases, right? Obviously, the court cases against Trump are trying to make him look bad during an election year. I mean, there's one obvious point. But there's another point where they're throwing Biden under the bus, and they're like, look, we've got to go with this guy that the populace is going to vote for. And so, you know, enter Candace Owens from stage left, and, you know, unanticipated person that's going to influence this. You know, what she's done is bringing Trump closer to the anti-Israel and anti-genocide viewpoint that the left has held, which has destroyed the Democratic Party. So the point is that the right is now having to deal with this. The right-wing base of the Trump supporters are having to deal with this genocide, and Trump has to respond to it. Whether he's responding or whether his advisors are responding is irrelevant. The point is that he is addressing this, and that's what the whole point of this article, I think, is.
Yeah. I mean, he's been ambiguous. Like I say, I think up until now, that's probably been in his, what he would consider to be in his own interest. But to the extent that Candace Owens starts shifting things, because you know that there's a lot of people who watch Fox News or Facebook, you know, boomers, especially boomer women, probably more boomer women, who still cannot avoid pictures and images of babies who have been mutilated, of I guess there's something going around now. I haven't seen it. I've only heard it. But three Palestinian young men walking home and just being vaporized. The building's just collapsing, 9/11 style. And I think it's probably been something. Well, I know I was talking a few months ago to a couple, and I guess the man's 80 and the woman's, or man's almost 80, the woman's some years younger. And they're knee-jerk, they were pro-Israel, but then when I talked to them, they were really ready to switch sides. I mean, they just assumed that okay, our team is pro-Israel. And then you present them with an opportunity, present them with some facts and an opportunity to reconsider. And I think a lot of people actually are willing to reconsider, because they're probably kind of uncomfortable with a lot of these images that they see. And so there is this potential there. I wonder what, you know, Tucker Carlson has had, he's able to call up Trump and talk to Trump. And Tucker Carlson, especially since he got fired from Fox News, I think his profile has risen. And Tucker Carlson was at Fox News for what, 6-7 years? He had that show, and he almost never talked about Israel. You know, Sean Hannity or these other guests, they were like, oh, thank God for Israel, you know, the most moral army in the world, and all this stuff. And Tucker studiously avoided the whole Middle East stuff. He just avoided it. He talked about other issues all the time. He almost never got into anything regarding Israel, which to me, like, I don't like Tucker Carlson because he's got this whole obsession with China. And I am a diehard China shill. I stand with the chinks. But Tucker Carlson, he may be somebody who's got Trump's ear and is saying, the Israelis are bad news. The Jewish power brought you down. Maybe he's one of these people, because he's the same person who why is he get fired from Fox News? If he's only as retarded as we think he is, and not more retarded, then he probably understands that it was the Jews who got him fired.
Well,
I kick it back.
Enter 2025. You got the Trump presidency, and you know, his base is demanding answers to, you know, why is Israel doing this stuff. At the same time, you know, the U.S. government, the U.S. empire is totally excluded from the new Belt and Road Initiative, and where China and Russia are prevalent in global operations, and where Israel is going to be brought to the table for forced negotiations. Who better to negotiate all this than Trump, to satisfy, you know, the right wing, and to satisfy America's entrance into the Belt and Road Initiative and to benefiting from it. So, you know, Trump's going to be, if he's put into power, if he comes to power in 2024 and 2025, as you mentioned before, he's coming to power into an America that is not a hegemony. And he's going to have to negotiate that. And so he's going to have to bring all these people to the table and negotiate an entrance into the Belt and Road, into Israel, chilling out with the genocide and possibly a two-state solution. And so who better than Trump to negotiate all of this? That's where I'm going with the way I think that things are going in the future. Not necessarily saying that Trump is installed, but that the people that control elections know which way the political winds are blowing. And so they're probably going to put him in for the purpose of all these things.
Yeah. I personally don't think Trump is... If Trump becomes president, I don't think it's because he is put in. I think it's because there just winds up being no alternative, and they can't stop him. The Biden, like, there could have been a more electable alternative to Biden, but it looks like it's just too late for that. And you know, the thing is, if there's a they out there who can install presidents, and they're powerful enough to do that, they can manipulate enough things just to install presidents at will. You know, sometimes there's an opportunity and you can do something. You got an opportunity and you can take advantage of it. But if you can just completely control things, then why didn't they get Handsome Newsom or somebody else? Why, if they can control that much, why can't they get Joe Biden to step aside? And, you know, I guess supposedly he could still step aside, but the timing is horrible at this point. You know, already the primaries are effectively over because enough delegates have been selected that Biden's got his majority. I think that what I do think is that as Trump's election starts to get more and more likely, more and more inevitable, you're going to have elements of Jewish power try to parachute themselves into it and hijack it, which they pretty successfully did 8 years ago. You know, they pretty successfully did that. He won in spite of Jewish power. And nobody was expecting him to win. He won in spite of Jewish power. He didn't have a whole lot of Jewish money behind him except for Sheldon Adelson, which I don't think was at all decisive. He didn't win because of money backing. But then he was president for 4 years. A lot of Jews got parachuted into his administration, Mnuchin and Gary Cohn and of course his son-in-law. And so you might have a situation where if you can't beat him, join him again. And maybe we can dominate him again. I honestly think there's a good chance that it wouldn't work, that they could try it, but it wouldn't work. I think there is a reasonable chance that Trump has learned enough and may be extremely resentful of all of everything that he's been put through over the past 8 years, might be extremely resentful that there is maybe not a good chance, but there is at least a statistically non-insignificant chance. There's a statistically significant chance that he could come out and be kind of like come out Putin style and just seek revenge on these people. I don't know. We'll see. I think we will see, because I at this point it's just looking like there's no stopping him. Not that he's so great, but they weren't able to get Biden out of the way. Biden is going to be most likely on the ballot, and if he's not on the ballot, last minute changes are chaotic and don't work well. We've had experience with that. So that's what I'm saying. I'll kick it back to you.
On the left and the right, the American populace are tired of immigration. Left and right, they're tired of these illegal immigrants coming into cities and, you know, getting 5-star hotels and debit cards and all that. People are tired of that. On the left and the right, thanks to Candace Owens, in part, they're tired of Israel, you know, the America Empire supporting Israel in this genocide of Palestinians. And on the left and the right, they're tired of just people coming in at whim and the whole LGBTQ scenario. So at the end of the day, they want a candidate like Trump to come in and solve these problems, so that you can get cover from the left, cover from the right, and someone to blame at the end of the day for all of this. And I think that that's why Trump is going to win this election. Also, the United States is going to have to negotiate into the new global system where Russia and China rule, and with the Belt and Road Initiative and whatnot. So someone's got to negotiate America's place in this new system. So that's why I would say that I'm not saying he's installed, but it's inevitable. It's inevitable, and they're reacting to something that is going to happen that can't be stopped. That's what I would say.
Yeah. And you mentioned a couple of times the Belt and Road Initiative. And the Belt and Road Initiative, in terms of, like, it's an ongoing thing. And China is lending development money to all these countries for infrastructure projects, which is something that since World Bank was set up in the wake of World War II, that was what the World Bank did. And right now, if you look at the development investment, their like annual budgets or whatever, the World Bank is almost as, I mean, the Belt and Road Initiative is almost as big as the World Bank. And the Belt and Road Initiative is also taking on some of the short-term financing functions of the IMF. And Belt and Road Initiative is growing. So it's a big deal. And it's been pointed out that Israel is right on that junction where there's this little strip of land that where the Eurasian supercontinent meets Africa. And so if you're going to have land link between Africa and Eurasia, it has to go through Egypt's Sinai Peninsula, and it has to go through where Israel is today. Well, here's the thing. Maybe later this year, there's going to be an international settlement, a peace settlement imposed on Israel. And everybody in the outside United States, everybody's saying 242, Resolution 242, which calls for the Palestinian state in the lands that Israel occupied in the 1967 war. So you got the West Bank, you got Gaza. Well, guess what? The West Bank and Gaza, they're only separated by about 25 miles. They're only about 25 miles apart. And in the decades since 1967, when, for instance, at Camp David, when they had the Camp David Accords, which were supposed to set up all this stuff. One of the things the Camp David Accords were supposed to set up was a land link between the West Bank and Gaza, a highway and potentially railroad between them. Now, it wouldn't necessarily be sovereign Palestinian, well, what wasn't intended to be sovereign Palestinian territory, but they were supposed to have a corridor that they were, that they would be able to use. And
people often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized. My lower edema has reduced and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Railroad between them. Now, it wouldn't necessarily be sovereign Palestinian, well, what wasn't intended to be sovereign Palestinian territory, but they were supposed to have a corridor that they were, that they would be able to use. And the longer this conflict goes on in Gaza, the worse things are for Israel. The worse Israel's position is going to be when, if indeed an international settlement comes, an international conference comes, their position's going to be weak. It is entirely possible that you could wind up with a Belt and Road link between Asia and Africa that cuts Israel out, that goes through the Palestinian territories, and makes use of a corridor. And who knows, maybe the corridor is going to be put under Palestinian sovereignty. Who knows? But Israel is at risk of being cut out of all that, because you can't count on the land that they control now, that they're going to control that land a year from now or 2 years from now. We're getting close. We have a few minutes left. Do you have any final thoughts?
Well, I would just say that Trump would be the ideal candidate to negotiate the U.S. interest in the Belt and Road Initiative, as you just outlined, and that when Israel is brought to heel, it's not if, but when Israel is brought to heel by the international community, that Trump in power in the U.S. would be probably more desirable than any other as a deal maker, because you're going to have the U.S. tap into this new power. That's what I would say.
It's going to be something to deal with. For instance, the World Bank. The World Bank, since its creation, has always had an American president, and it's based in Washington, D.C. It's a few blocks from the White House. You can walk past it. I've walked past it on peace demonstrations numerous times. And, you know, who knows what they're going to try to do. But yeah, President Trump could be the person to preside over the dismembering of the American empire, not necessarily the dismembering of the United States, but you've got the American empire. It includes the World Bank and the IMF. It includes NATO. It includes a whole bunch of things which are which may be on the verge of being eclipsed and dismembered. The U.S.-Japan security treaties with Australia and New Zealand. Australia and New Zealand are so cucked, that's probably not a risk, but you know, Trump has voiced the possibility of withdrawing from NATO, of withdrawing American troops from Asia. So he might be the right person to preside over this dismemberment of the American empire. And because if it is a Jewish, you know, the Jews in Israel have a Samson option, and there's not necessarily the same type of formal Samson option in the United States. But if you look at what's going on with the United States empire at risk, what are they doing? They're kind of lashing out in all directions: Ukraine, Middle East, Iran, potentially China, potentially. So we'll see. But we're out of time. I want to thank you for joining me, Jeremy.
Thank you, Patrick. It's too classy, my friend.
Will do. And I'll be back again tomorrow with Paul Stevenson for another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio.
Sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because big tech, big pharma, and big brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we the people are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio, only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.